much more than a podcast. Well, I guess it's only a podcast. And now it's time for a podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to BLT Lunch Break. It's late night. We're here at Will's house.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Will.
Hello.
We've been recording all day.
Yeah,
I've literally all day.
I've had
as a podcast.
I've had probably this is my sixth hour of podcasting today. Probably.
Oh, that's true. You've had a long day.
We're joined by Roger Federer. I don't know why.
Logan's on a media tour.
That's the new project. It's me and Bart and Roger Federer in a new podcast.
Oh, all right.
BRL.
We might be able to get sponsors on that one.
Burl.
Yeah. Burl.
You may know Roger Federer. He's won many opens.
All the opens.
All the opens.
Some of them were closed.
I've won all the opens.
He's like
who, all the closed.
Who opened the restaurant? Sam Snead. He's like the Sam Snead of openings.
Did Sam Snead open Sam Snead's?
No, he had to be long dead.
I thought so.
I thought Sam Snead was a detective.
Who opened the restaurant? No, he's a golfer.
Sam Snead right. Detective is a fanfic I write about Sam Snead.
He walks around instead of a cane.
Every time he's an old school golfer. But at night, he's a detective.
Every time he gets to a golf course, some crime happens.
Ba-da-da, detective Sam Snead.
And in the series finale, we find out he's the one.
I have a theory.
Well, now I want to know, when did Sam Snead exist?
The restaurant or the man?
Well, the restaurant still shows up in some airports. I'll see it from time to time. Sam Snead, the golfer, you may know him. There's also an American rapper named Sam Snead.
I'm looking at him. Not the same.
I don't feel like the golfer would have liked him. I don't know why. He just doesn't seem like that. Sam Snead, it's EAD. He died in 2002, Will. So, yes, he started the restaurant. Oh. In my head, Sam Snead is an old-timey.
He was like a vintage, like Bobby Jones.
He had like those pants that stopped at the calves.
He was born in 1912. So,
yeah.
He had some fun vacation dad hats.
He did. Man.
Like, check that out.
That's why we're here. We're going to tell you about Sam Snead.
I feel like Bart has this hat.
I should have.
Let me see it.
I do not.
Yeah, you can buy that Rainforest Cafe clearance section.
I don't pull hats off very well.
Well, I think like me, you have a large head.
I do have a large head.
And my son has inherited that head.
That's what.
He can not wear kids like bike helmets.
Speaking of children's heads.
How's that percentile going?
Well, no. I go to the same pediatrician that your children went to. I don't know if they still do or not.
Yeah.
But, and the nurse can't get the head measurement right.
Because they wiggle around too much?
But because, like, literally, every time it alternates, she goes from the 89th percentile to the 15th percentile. And I'm like,
are you measuring the wrong spot?
Either someone should be very alarmed and tell us, like, yeah, the head just stopped shrinking, stopped growing. In fact, it shrunk a little.
Or, a lot.
Yeah, like 75%. Or she's really bad at measuring children's heads. And they're just kind of like, that's her thing.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
It's okay.
Can we? I don't want to make this a golf podcast, but we need to talk about Sam Snead some more. So Sam Snead, there's a couple headlines from Golf Digest. Sam Snead still is the oldest PGA Tour winner 50 years after setting the record. Now that's something enough. But then you go two stories down. Where'd it go? A few more.
Three doors down. Kryptonite.
Sam Snead remains the only male to have won the LPGA event.
Okay, that's some pro wrestling nonsense.
Well, here's the other thing, though.
Women's money in the bank.
I feel like that's just because he's the only male they allowed to win.
is there a source?
Like, I don't think you can just enter
this.
That.
Is like someone on the PGA website.
Oh, I thought this was like a Wikipedia. Someone's like, no one's checking the Sam Snead Wikipedia. Let's make some facts up. Like he was a detective.
News.
This was on February 7th of 2017.
He died in 2002.
I know. Here's something you may not have known about the PGA Tour's all-time wins leader, Sam Snead. On this day, February 7th, in 1962, Slammin' Sammy became the first and only male to win an LPGA event.
Okay, that's fine, but what does that mean?
I'm trying to read.
He had to have been allowed in, and that's not fair.
I don't trust that.
That's what I want, yeah.
Well, Sam Snead was now, more progressive than I thought.
No, but you know what I've just now realized is that this entire time, people are like, golf is really boring, it's all this. I go, no, it's the most elaborate form of wrestling.
I can't.
It's like there's a lot of skill involved to make it that fake.
I'm reading the story.
Actually Samantha.
I'm reading the story and it makes no sense. It makes zero sense.
Look at that. He missed it. You hear that?
Yeah.
I love that. It's funny.
It's like one of those funny things you didn't know, like the whole stories that tell you about, like, and that man
ended up
actually being secretly Samantha Sneed. But at the time, she had to wear her hair up like Mulan.
She had to wear her hair up like Mulan. She did not have a little dragon friend.
Tom Bancroft, who created Mulan, he says Mulan.
Mulan.
Like, it bothers me. He puts the wrong...
Fabulous Mula.
Wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Glow Season 2 starts pretty soon.
Yeah, it's on Friday.
Like,
yeah.
This week, right?
It's probably already out by the time you hear this. And speaking of wrestling...
I've never seen
it. Oh, yeah, it better be out by the time you hear this.
Yeah. Speaking of wrestling, I'm kind of, like, moving a juke in here. We have a new project to announce, Bart.
We do.
And Will.
This is your baby. You go for it.
It is my baby, but it is also a baby of many of us who've been working on it for months and months and months.
It's called Library Wars.
Yeah. And... it's called, well, not to say it's called, we've been working on it for a full year. I realized the day I clicked launch was almost a year to the day of registering the domain.
Oh,
because it came like, you gotta replace this credit card, man. You're going to lose the domain. Oh. So we've been producing a...
And that's, that's in this iteration, in this name, because we talked about...
Oh, yeah. We've been working on a version of a show.
A version
since
of this.
For a year and a half.
Long
2 years.
Ago, yes.
And this version came up.
There was even a former host involved at one time.
Yeah, that's right.
In the planning.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was happening. But then about a year ago, things got serious. We started kind of hunkering down. And we shot a television show that is going to be, or it is live right now on Amazon Prime. If you're a Prime member, you get it for free. It's called Dojo Pro. It's a 12-episode professional wrestling television series, kind of reinvented for, we've said, the modern viewer. If you're watching, you can binge all the episodes in about 5.5-6 hours. And it really tells a really easy-to-understand story and just shows some amazing athleticism. There's 12 wrestlers that are ranked, and it's almost the easiest way to describe it. If you grew up playing Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, Tekken, it's like that in reality and in live action terms. And what's cool about our series is not only are we exposing 12 or 13
ourselves.
Yeah, 12 or 13 really brand new wrestlers who are not brand new wrestlers you may not be familiar with if you just watch the WWE. So we're able to do that and present them in a way that if your time commitment is low, if you can't say, man, you know, the WWE right now, you have to minimum watch 5 hours a week to stay up on what the storylines are going. We've stopped that. We've created a new version. That's awesome. I love the WWE. But for those of us maybe who have time commitment problems, have kids, or families, or maybe want to watch something with their kids, we've created Dojo Pro, and it's a new television series. Again, you can watch the whole season right now on Amazon Prime. Episodes run between 20 and 30 minutes. If you're a wrestling fan, you'll know names like Shane Strickland and Jeff Cobb and Joey Janela.
James Storm.
James Storm, the Cowboy, comes in as there are, we have a spot that's a slot in the rankings that's dedicated to a veteran, and he has that one. So yeah, it's a really great series. I really enjoy it. I've watched it 200 or 300 times now. And I'm just excited for people to see it. While we're recording this, the show has not yet dropped, and we are awaiting Amazon to go ahead and go live. We know it's any moment
to
now.
To release the Kraken.
And the reason you said Library Wars is because if you search Dojo Pro right now, while we're recording this, all you see is an anime series called Library Wars.
Which, I mean, I'm a big fan of. I've watched that 200 or 300 times.
Which I wonder if now, as they're hearing this, that the show is live, I wonder if that will still come up as an option.
I'm sure it'll be the second option.
Like, yeah. I wonder what Dojo Bro and Library Wars have. I probably should watch it now.
My favorite thing about this, and I've been on a wrestling journey with you, where we loved it as kids, got real back into it as adults, and I'm more the casual fan, and you're more the aggressive fan,
yes,
I'll say.
I'm a hardcore fan.
Whereas I like popping in, being able to grasp a storyline. Sometimes when it gets too complex, I don't like it. But the tournament style, the ladder style that this brings you, it's familiar because you get almost a professional sports feel.
Yeah.
Well, at the same time, though, the wrestlers themselves.
Can we acknowledge on its throat?
There's a creature living
inside.
Well,
it was ranked. It's ranked 1 through 12, with number 1 being like our number 1 wrestler, who was ranked by industry leaders. And with that, these guys that we selected were then hand selected and ranked But some of that came from an idea of presenting this more like sports. Like, to me, like college football, the top 12 that you get, like, it came up sort of in that sort of.
Well, and I like the fact that there's that aspect of it where it is familiar. If you're just a general sports fan, you're going to enjoy what this presents, as well as just stylistically, it takes cues from film and reality television outside of reality sports.
Yeah.
And it just comes together. And when you watch it, it's a very unique experience that I think the wrestling fans will love, but I think it's going to hook people that aren't wrestling fans that are just like, I get it. I get this concept of a tournament of the battle. It's gladiators in a sense.
And each wrestler's introduced, like a new wrestler's introduced in every episode.
Right.
And tells their backstory.
And we're telling their stories, and it's easy to, like Logan said, it's very easy to follow. So if you're not a wrestling fan, it doesn't matter. This show, while it is a wrestling show, it has familiar feelings of, I mean, The Apprentice, Shark Tank, even Shark Tank's
right, and that's where it's like it takes those cues.
You'll feel very familiar and very and yet different at the same
time. Yeah, and though people are aware of wrestling and the way wrestling runs and maybe sort of the fun side of wrestling, I'll say that. There are real stakes. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's interesting also.
Right.
Oh, for our competitors, no doubt. This is a big opportunity.
If they win, not only do they win what we have, which is our Dojo Pro Black Belt, which is essentially our championship, but that championship, we've done a partnership with Ring of Honor Wrestling, which is kind of inarguably the number two
league right
and now. Probably, I'd say, when it comes to wrestling, number one, when it comes to the actual like wrestling you're seeing, but when it comes to numbers, obviously WWE is above a lot of things, but I prefer Ring of Honor right now, and they're able to go on if they win the black belt. That's where our series ends. So you'll watch that whole episode 1 to 12, and you'll see how that wraps up, who ends up being our black belt at the end of the season. But now on Ring of Honor television, our black belt will be going on there, representing us and getting a shot at their World Television Championship. Which will be a really great experience, not only for the wrestlers, but like I said, a part of when we were developing the show, I like the idea of having prizes and stakes. There's even like a little bit of pageantry in it, like if you're like Miss America, because we're giving you a package of an opportunity to showcase your platform on a wider scale. And I think of it also that way as a showcase of talent from around the country.
And also, back to me being the more casual fan, is that what is really difficult for me is that when I do miss a couple weeks of WWE, I feel like I've missed so much.
You're like starting over.
And because it's a never-ending series.
Their whole thing is there is no off-season.
Because this is a season.
Yeah.
And because that's WWE is an anomaly.
There's a beginning, middle, and end.
This makes sense for me because it's like whether it's football or a television show like, I don't know, Kimmy Schmidt or something, you know, like there are defined parameters of
schedule.
There's an end. And because this is a tournament and a ladder style and there are seeds, there is a definite end to this season.
Yeah.
And I like that because it's not as daunting to me that I have to latch on and just not let go for
the rest of your life. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing is that pro wrestling has always prided itself in that there is no off season. But who says there shouldn't be?
Right.
So when I kind of see it also with the rise of soccer in the States. It's schedulable sports.
Yeah.
And I see that same with pro wrestling and that you can schedule it within your life. Not schedule necessarily a part of your life.
Right.
It can come in and respect what you have around you and make something that you can either watch on your lunch break over the course of a couple of weeks, which is fun here because we're here on BLT lunch break, or you can watch it all at once over the course of an evening.
Yeah.
Because shows or episodes are short. They're easy. You can watch them on any device if you're an Amazon member.
You said, 5.5 hour total runtime? That's like, my wife and I have watched more than 5.5 hours. Yeah,
exactly. And when the shows go by in 20 to 30 minutes, it is that feeling of, oh, I want to see what's next.
Uh-huh.
And you're introduced to a new character. And who are these people? And what's their story? And a lot of those stories are very much based in reality. So a lot of these guys are coming. There's some wrestlers that come to mind that, you know, they talk about their kids and their family and what this could mean for them, and that what the struggles of independent wrestling has been. Because say what you want, is it a sport? Is it not a sport? And I was on Dave Adams, who listened to the show, his podcast last night, defending why I think it is a sport, which I think maybe we should get into.
I'm totally down to, to discuss that.
I mean,
and I think I have an opinion that you wouldn't necessarily expect from me.
And I have a pretty hard to argue opinion.
Well, I think I agree with you.
There you go. I think that the beauty of the show, and I will appeal to the non-wrestling fans out there, because not that I'm not a wrestling, and in fact, doing the show obviously has made me a wrestling fan again, but I was a wrestling fan in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then I fell out of it. I mean, I grew up with Hogan and the Junkyard Dog and Coco Beware and Jake the Snake, you know, pre-meltdown and things. This really pulled me back in. But what's beautiful about it is you can jump into any episode because we bring in a new wrestler each time. And you'll be fully entertained and you'll fully enjoy it. But also, it's a show you should watch from beginning to end because A, it won't take you that long, and B, you really go on a journey with some of these guys. And for some of these guys, and I won't say who we've got, but some of these guys have been around, you know, and I'm not
it's okay to say who's on it. I think
I don't want to say it's anybody's last opportunity, but some of these guys have been out there ham and egging it for a lot of years trying to get to the next level. And so this could be, you know, make or break time. And so you really get, I mean, for me, standing there when we were interviewing them, you really get wrapped up in their story beyond any character or anything like that. So there's real drama here. There's a real through line.
There's also the drama of, because it's a progressive format of it, each match matters.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a lot of times you watch a 3-hour wrestling program.
Yeah, there's no filler.
And
no,
it's like, this sex match is pointless.
Yeah.
These people, they're just testing to see if they're perform right well.
Yeah.
And that was part of the reason.
There's like, no opening.
When we developed the system, which there's a white belt, which is the main title that runs through the whole series, which is essentially a baton that get passed up all the mm-hmm way. Part of that was when we were kids, Will, when we grew up watching WCW, every time Hulk Hogan wrestled or Goldberg wrestled, whoever was the world champion, other than very few exceptions, it was always for the title.
Right.
And though some people will say, well, that's not how wrestling, I loved that because you felt like anything could happen. And what we've done is, I think there's elements of surprise in the show that you won't be expecting. There are real stories that get told. There are some outlandish characters. So if you love that style of wrestling, there's Memphis style wrestling. There's Lucha style wrestling, Japanese style wrestling, traditional American wrestling. There's Olympic style wrestling that happens in this. We've mixed that, the entire culture of how the United States has kind of populated itself with different styles of professional wrestling. So you get and you get to really see the athleticism. We shot in a very small soundstage with a very limited audience. And I think even the way it's shot shows a little bit more the physical side of, though the show is made to be enjoyed, honestly, with your family. Part of it, I've said before, my son is a hardcore wrestling fan. I wasn't going to make a show he couldn't watch with me. But when you do watch, you can see a little bit more of the real physical side of this and not the magic
intimacy of the setting. No matter what, even though they do close-ups and they're in their face in any, I don't care if it's WWE or Ring of Honor or any or New Japan, any wrestling event that's in a big arena takes the intimacy out of it and takes a little bit of the reality out of it of what these competitors are actually doing in the ring. And when you're in this small soundstage, that it just, you can't escape the confinement, essentially. It's almost like a cage match, but with physical walls, not cages.
Yeah, there's no barriers, but there's people.
And so you just realize the aggressiveness of their athleticism that they're presenting.
Yeah, and working with Bart, working with Will and Dylan, the whole crew, one of the things we also want to differentiate ourselves, because there's a lot of wrestling. If you're a hardcore wrestling fan, there's a lot of wrestling content on the internet. A lot of it's not free. A lot of it you have to pay for. And some of it is free, but maybe the production quality isn't there. What we wanted to do was have a show that came in with great production quality, great wrestling, and a different style. A lot of guys go out there and try to be a version of the WWE. And as much as I'm a huge fan of the WWE, and I really am, you're never going to outdo them in production. They're a multi-billion dollar company. So why, I don't want to say why try, but why not try to come up with something unique and something different? I think that's what we've done with Dojo Pro. Even the little sort of, you know, the website is dojopro.co. Even those little things that are a little maybe a little corny here and there, but are fun. They stick in your head. They're a little more memorable. And introduce some of these wrestlers who are used to working at shows only aimed at adults, some stuff that's, you know, vulgar or bloody or whatever, and taking these amazing talents and showcase them to hopefully a wider audience through an outlet like Amazon, where the majority of the country that's on the internet are already a member of.
And also to play off that, the back to what I was saying about the intimacy of it, though, because a lot of these competitors are used to the smaller venues where it's they're playing to the people that are there. Yeah. They're not losing sight of the people that are out on a screen somewhere, that they really bring it for the people in that room because that's what they're used to. And you really almost feel like you're there. It's almost, I mean, it has a, not to get too like philosophical, but like a podcast feel where you feel like you're in the room watching it as opposed to watching this spectacle.
Yeah.
You're a part of it. And yeah. I like that.
And when you said that, when you think of like, when you hear someone yell something out or heckle someone in WWE, occasionally you'll pick up of a word or two or a chant that takes over the whole arena. But very rarely do you hear a person yell something out and then in the audience, and then that wrestler address them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have that happen so many times that they close caption people yelling stuff, which I didn't expect. It's what they're going to close caption our commentary, which is done they're by like,
mm-hmm. audience member.
But you're right. Right. So audience member says something ridiculous and the person responds. And we have a great commentary by a couple people, a different host. We have hosts you've known from WWE Today, Matt Lott. He hosts the show. He opens each episode. Rob Johnston, who you may have seen before on your GIF keyboard and on on Vine.
With a giant cup of coffee.
Giant cup of coffee. He's our in-ring interviewer at the end. And then we have Mark Warzeka, who is a Second City comedian and comedy writer, but he also works for New Japan Pro Wrestling, does all the pre-shows. So if you've watched the pre-shows to their most recent events, whether it's Wrestle Kingdom or Dominion, he hosts that with Rocky Romero. And he also does commentary for them and came in and he does the commentary. So it's a really top-notch group of guys. Though you'll see Bart in the audience, you'll see Will in the audience, yeah. You'll see me on a couple shots here and there. For the most part, we're not necessarily in it. And I think that was an intentional decision. A lot of wrestling gets hung up in the boss or the authority. Mm-hmm. And then we come out and say, no, let's showcase this talent. It reminds me actually of, and when Will and I first moved here, we went to a lot of like music showcases where you'd go and you'd watch a band with a bunch of industry executives. And then, you know, you'd politely clap and you'd enjoy it. And you'd see this band for the first time and really decide whether you thought this band had it or you could book them on this tour. You could put them on this TV show. You could do whatever. It kind of reminds me of that. It's a showcase of 13 young and hungry wrestlers that were really contagious to be around when it came to their energy and their spirit. And hopefully we've shown that on this visual product that we've released that is available now. And like I said, you can watch it for free. And if you are already a Prime member, and if you're not a Prime member, you can rent it or purchase it for a very low cost on Amazon. And it's also, that's available in the US and the UK. And if you're not in one of those countries, don't worry, we haven't forgotten you. We're working on some international options.
And let me say, too, I just want, not that it needs to be said, but the folks, when you see this, this is a legit production. I mean, the production value on this thing was more than even I expected. Because I've watched some other wrestling, some of the stuff that's out there on Prime that looks like it was recorded with a camcorder or right. An iPhone. This is a real television show. I mean, I think that you guys that have been with us through this whole journey are really going to be impressed. Yeah. Not just pleasantly surprised. I think we're going to impress a lot of people on what we've produced. I was behind the scenes.
Well, no, for sure.
Our tech crew is far and away the real deal. So
yeah.
This show looks beautiful.
It does. And I'm very proud of the way it turned out, whether it's the set design or the lighting or the music that Dylan made or the visuals.
That's right. I mean, the music is the same guy who did the theme song for the BLT.
Yeah, it's almost all the, I mean, some of them have their
spilling beers.
Their own, but for the most part, it's all original music.
Has Dylan ever been on this show?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I guess on the cruise.
Yeah, I feel like he's been on this before. And
call him up.
Will is in the audience. Will was one of our audience audience assistants.
Yeah.
Led some chants. Blew his voice out.
You will hear three different people that are all me on day one, day two, and day three.
You hear Will
four,
a lot,
and five,
actually. Yes.
And Will also...
blew out my voice.
He blew out his voice. He also started a wrestling chant or cheer, or boo, really, that I've never heard before in wrestling, which is...
coward.
Straight out of the Old West. yell coward, and it started becoming a thing.
Yeah, everyone started saying
it. People are chanting coward. People. I want to make a shirt that just says coward, Dojo Pro. And
everyone's like, where did you come up with that? I'm like, well, I'm old-timey.
Coward! You're a coward!
Isn't there one wrestler, didn't you chant goodwill at or through?
Can I be honest where that in my mind comes from?
Coward?
Yeah.
What?
Back to the Future? No. Oh. Princess Bride. Billy Crystal's wife.
All right. Coward!
Coward! I'm not. You're a witch. I'm not a witch. I'm your wife. That's pretty sure where that came from in my head.
Which starred Andre the Giant, so it ties it all back in.
Yeah, it's all wrestling.
If you ask my 2-year-old daughters, because they have a shirt of Andre the Giant they love, and they go, Andre the Giant. I go, what does Andre the Giant say? They go, anybody want a peanut?
Of course they did.
Which they think that scene, that's the only scene they've ever seen from Princess Bride, but they think it's funny.
It's a good scene.
Shout out to the podcast.
which one is that you got there?
You've got two of these, but this one's almost cashed.
What's it say on the label up top?
Don't drink. This is $1,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. Barrel number 4488, hand selected by Carruthers and Wine.
It's a good one. That's Carruthers.
Should I not drink it?
You can drink whatever you want.
Well, I don't want to. If it's like fancy, I mean, there's only a little swaller left.
Yeah, that means I'm saving it for.
And in this,
well, that's why I'm asking.
In this show.
I'm just kidding. Drink whatever you want. Whatever's open, you can drink.
If you
drink.
Are a wrestling fan, we also worked with some really cool people. And when we say it's ranked by industry leaders, some of those are we can talk about, some we can't. People who we really worked with in the industry, whether that's friends like Eric Bischoff, who we've heard us talk about.
Can't talk about the people who ranked them.
We can't, no.
And obviously, we can talk about our wrestlers because they're on the show. But
right, no, but we can't. And a lot of them
But I don't want to.
But a lot of them are just people that we don't necessarily want to expose some of that. But we worked with a lot of great people who you'd be familiar with in wrestling, in what's happening in current wrestling, who suggested some
amazing
talent.
Sounds like Schmalk Schmogen.
Yeah, no, no.
We did not know. I'm just kidding.
Hey, dude.
hey, brother.
Schmulek Hogan.
Schmulek Hogan.
Logan's cousin.
Sounds like Schmuley Boteak.
What you gonna do when Schmulek Hogan runs wild on you?
I am a real American.
Have you tried the corned beef?
Have you seen my pythons?
Yes, you have.
I have a ball python and a Burmese python. I see them at rats every
I was talking about muscles.
I sort of put them on you. Put them on you a little bit.
I love it.
Yeah, that's my new character.
Schmolik Schmogen.
Schmolik Schmogen. Rabbi Schmolik Schmogen.
Speaking of rabbis, I had a pro wrestling themed bar mitzvah. So
say your prayers, I guess. Take your vitamins. Take your supplements.
Yeah.
Say your Torah portion.
Yes. Tie to felon. And
that's right. Eat your gefilte fish. Yeah.
I did have a pro wrestling themed bar mitzvah. Did you know that?
He did.
I'm sure you did.
My brother had tennis, and my parents were like, what do you want? And I was like, I want a pro wrestling
themed bar mitzvah. Hold on, wait, back up. Your brother had a tennis bar mitzvah?
He's a big tennis
party.
Fan.
Party. Like the party. Really? You themed the party.
Well, yeah, I forget.
And he was a tennis player in 13.
I didn't know that. No,
I mean, not pro level. Like, he was just, he liked tennis.
Into it.
Yeah. And I had a...
He likes topspin on Xbox.
I had a WCW themed... bar mitzvah party.
You did?
So, all the tables were themed after wrestlers.
So a specific league, even.
Well, jeez. Well, there were some WWE crossover there, which I wasn't too happy about at the time.
Because the figurines.
Right. Sure. They made, the centerpieces were made out of WWF rings, and you would sit at a table that was named after a wrestler. So I love the fact that someone in my family was like, all right, you're at the Buff Bagwell table.
There's also probably an Undertaker in there as well.
Yeah, exactly. They had to go, are you in Raven's flock? And in fact, I am.
That sounds like something Schmolik Schmogen would say. Raven, are you in the Raven's flock?
Raven's real name, Scott Levy. He's, he's a Jewish man.
The shepherd would leave the flock. Well.
Raven?
Yeah.
Don't say, I want to bring Raven in for next
never mind.
Guy? Raven the wrestler?
I thought that,
you're not talking about Raven Simone.
Quote the Raven.
No, can we get Raven Simone, though?
He used to say, quote the Raven, nevermore, and I didn't know that was a...
Edgar Allan Poe reference. Right.
I thought it was just like, that's cool.
Pretty. I'm going to get that tattooed on
and
me.
Then he would go, what about me? What about Raven? I loved Raven.
I wanted Raven's hair.
Yo, Raven was like the quintessential, was awesomely cool to me, but probably was not to the world.
I thought he was cool.
Was Raven the vampire wrestler?
No, that's Gangrel.
That's Gangrel.
He's available for booking.
Oh, time out. Raven looks pretty good now.
Yeah, he went through a time.
Raven.
Oh, here's the bad time.
American.
See, Raven's flock was.
Oh, gosh. Is this current?
Let's not. I don't want Raven on my bad side. I like Raven.
Sorry.
Yeah, he's had some ups and downs.
Hey, y'all quit it on Raven. I love Raven. There was Raven's flock was Raven, Billy Kidman, who was great. Yeah. First person I ever
Billy,
saw him do it.
Wait,
Kidman. Oh, that's Billy Gilman.
Do a boot.
One voice was heard.
Billy Kidman was like the first person I see to do like a moonsalt as his fin, or like a, yeah, I think it was kind of like a moonsalt, right? Shooting Star Press.
Yeah.
And then
Raven's real name, Scott Levy.
That's what I just said.
You were sorry, I was looking at his picture.
Perry
I
Saturn.
I pulled a Will Haynes there.
Perry Saturn. Perry Saturn was both one of my favorite wrestlers and the best dessert at WWF's restaurant, the Rings of Saturn. Mm-hmm. Which had strawberry sauce.
WWF had a restaurant?
Yeah, in Times Square.
You're kidding me.
The WWF, the world.
Didn't work,
I saw Fozzie play there. It was actually the Paramount Theater, which it's the Hard Rock now.
Okay.
So it's Hard Rock. It's a Hard Rock restaurant now, but Hard Rock Cafe. Hard Rock restaurant. It's a different thing. they redid that Paramount Theater that was dormant for forever. And in the late 90s, when the Attitude Era was really spiking, they built that, and I used to go see people like Fozzie. Chris Angel would do a bunch of, or maybe David Blaine. I think Chris Angel would do a bunch of shows there, pre-Mind Freak.
Chris Angel, really?
I think that's right. He used to like stand out front and do magic, and or do like some like, you know, I'm stuck in a thing of ice. I can't, something like that. I can't remember. He had a gimmick that I remember going to see.
Mind Freak.
I love that. And then it was pretty cool, but they had all WWF-themed restaurant or themed items. And I took my grandfather there once. He told me a story. It's like where he was there, it was the Paramount Theater. It's where he tried to see Frank Sinatra as a kid, where everyone skipped school. It's like the most traditional like New York story ever. All his friends skipped school. They all went down to see Frank play it. Clearly, I guess, a show in the middle of the day. The cops showed up.
Hosted by boss Vic Koss.
Exactly. The cops showed up, flipped the lights on, and kicked all the kids and sent them back to their school.
Yeah, right. Look at you, kids.
Right, I know. It's like
get back to school.
They never got to see old Blue
Boss
Eyes.
Vic Koss.
Yeah, so
Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh.
So to wrap up the promotional part of
all
this,
day.
It's available.
Give me the rub. I need the rub.
It's available dojopro.co or just search for Dojo Pro on Amazon.
You go to Amazon, search right. Dojo Pro.
But there's like more cool stuff on our website too.
Dojo Pro.
Singing Dojo Pro to the theme of Banana Splits.
No, it's a TNT.
I thought you were going, oh.
Dojo Pro.
I thought you were going, Dojo Pro, Dojo Dojo Pro.
That's a good to pro to do to do pro.
That song is in the in Boss Baby, so Riker knows it from that. I was like, that's from the Banana.
See, I was thinking the little ditty in Fried Green Tomatoes.
Little ditty,
my dojo pro. That's the theme of Banana Splits. That's the same song. Oh, that took a Chris Nolan turn.
Yep,
bananas.
No, I'm not talking about bananas
in pajamas. Are coming down the stairs.
Oh, dang.
So, Will, do you think pro wrestling is a sport?
Yeah, I do. Especially compared to... you've made the argument before of it being similar to an Olympic sport.
Yes, figure
and
skating.
If you're going to consider figure skating or gymnastics or any of these things,
which are athletic displays.
They are displays of athleticism in the form of dancing.
And what's the difference?
Right.
There's really no difference.
This is a dance where your dance partner smashes your head on the ground. And so it's like, yeah, there are people that aren't necessarily as good at that athletic display that aren't. So if you scored it on a point system, similar to gymnastics or something like that, I think that it very much could be considered a sport that you could an Olympic sport, which to me is almost like
Kurt Angle tried to get it to happen. Like,
did he really?
He tried to present it with the same theory of if
this Olympic so you'd have Greco-Roman,
you could have professional wrestling, so you'd have, or you know, whatever you'd call it, wrestling entertainment.
so, athletic wrestler or something like
that. Because if you worked in pairs, like you were Team USA, you were pretending, you know, you're putting on a show to fight each other.
Right.
But it was all done on points, and you were still representing your country.
You'd feel like, okay, yeah, so someone does a finishing move, which is a...
That's just the end of your show.
A double back tuck with a twist that lands on someone's head.
It's a darn, you know, Meltzer driver.
Pretty dadgum impressive, which I... But I...
I'll let that sink in.
But I do think it all depends on what you define as sport, but I think everyone calls the Olympics an Olympic sport.
Mm-hmm.
No one's questioning if figure skating is a sport.
Right.
Couples in figure skating.
And a lot of times people are like, it's in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And so it's. I feel like it could have that status. I don't think it would be the same as like college football or even...
No, it's still a performance.
Right.
But it's no different to me than anything that's...
It requires an athletic
synchronized
prowess.
Swimming.
It requires...
Synchronized swimming is an Olympic sport.
It also requires more athleticism than like... An offensive lineman who just has to be big and able to stand their ground.
You have to
I'm not taking that away. Like there's
hundreds of pounds over your head.
A very specialized job.
Yes.
And it takes a lot of athleticism, but it's a very specific athleticism.
And all of us that have now taken a bump in the ring can say, it hurts.
It hurts, Janice.
Well, not all of us, because some of us have sense. Well, don't want to take a
bump.
Some of us are older than the others of us.
I've had my back problems, but Dylan Spears super kicked me. I had to sell it.
Mm-hmm. I think here is what would need to be a bigger selling point is the gimmickry of wrestling. I feel like would probably not help it. Like
no.
You would just have to show the event, like strip down.
Like almost New Japan, like some of the stuff they do, like straight up right. sports.
Right, where there's not a Undertaker.
Now, hold on, before we do this, this guy.
Or Booty-O's. I don't understand the concept of the Booty-O's. Booty-O's.
Where do the Booty-O's tie in?
What was the point of that?
Now you're into pancakes? They do that now. They throw pancakes. Uh-huh. A guy opened the Money in the Bank and it was covered in pancakes.
This just seems offensive.
I'm trying to find this awesome gif that that Rob sent me of us messing around in the ring.
Dumping coffee over their head?
No, I'm going to send you guys this. So yeah, it's available now. Go watch it. Enjoy it. Let us know what you think. Give it a review on Amazon that's positive. Don't give us a... If you didn't like it, just pass. Just don't respond.
Keep it to yourself.
Right. I don't know why you feel like obligated that you have
it's
to tell
free.
Us. It's free for most of you. Yeah.
Like 100 million people.
It is. It's more than Netflix, more than pretty much any other streaming service. It's just because it's included in everything you have.
Right.
So you may be like, oh, I don't use Amazon Video, but hey, maybe you get it for the 2-day shipping. So go check it out. Right?
Yeah. How about that?
Everybody's looking at...
Please.
I'm reading Bird Cloud tweets and Vince McMahon Googling tweets, so I'm satisfied for the evening.
Vince McMahon Googling?
Oh, it's the parody account. It's pretty funny. No. It's not accurate.
Can I just call every show a flagship show?
Oh, that's because they announced today, and my stock did pretty well, that they called SmackDown the flagship show in the press release for the new Fox deal. So they released today that Raw is going maybe a 10-year deal or 5-year deal with USA.
Okay.
And then a multi-year deal of SmackDown Live moving to Friday in 2019
on Fox. So they're taking over every network.
On Fox, not like Fox Sports, on
Fox Network.
Fox Network television.
I don't know how I feel about that, Logan.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it.
Andy Griffith.
This has nothing to do with anything we're talking about, but I just happened to see this tweet that Kevin Smith took his daughter out for dinner tonight for her birthday, and they went to go see The Incredibles. But when he asked for the check to pay, the waiter told them that their check had been picked up by Casper Van Diem. Johnny Rico from Starship Troopers. He happened to be in the restaurant and saw them and paid for their dinner. There's a beautiful little exchange on the Twitter right now.
That's the most bizarre thing I've ever heard.
Uh-huh. It touched my heart.
Now, did you have to Google that?
Do you want
that
to know more? No, I know Casper Van Dien. Okay, I forget there's an age gap.
That whole exchange.
Yeah, that was a great exchange.
It's fine. It's time for the BLT to take a new turn,
Yeah, we're creating a family new wrestling show.
We're in the wrestling show, though. Will's attic drinking whiskey. Let's talk about
I'm looking up. Let's go through the Boop. Filmography of Casper Van Dien. You may know him from Beastmasters 3.
And he was in Tarzan, a remake
Weirdly,
of Tarzan.
You may know him from the film Casper.
He had a film about himself?
No, Casper, a direct-to-video sequel to Casper the Friendly Ghost.
You know, that was some studio
Casper beats Wendy.
Let's just hire the guy.
There's Casper. We're making a movie called Casper. Get the Casper guy.
This is where I was like, why do I remember him? He was from the 1999 classic, The Omega Code.
I knew he did some Christian movies.
We've seen that film.
I saw it in the theaters. It made a ton of money.
And then we also saw Megiddo.
Was he in Megiddo? I was going to ask.
In Megiddo.
He saw Megiddo in that ghetto theater. That typically showed pornography.
What? No, I saw it in the Winter Park.
No, Logan, no. Yes, we saw
it
in
the day after 9/11.
The Altamont Mall. It wasn't after 9/11, but it was in the Altamont Mall parking lot.
I'm going to die.
In the two-screen cinema that most of the time was adult films, but for some reason they got Megiddo. And we went and saw that. In my entire life, I'd been like, always, like, we can't go to that theater.
We also saw Les Mis, the movie?
No, that was at Altamont 8.
Okay.
This was at literally a two-screen dump. The only movie I ever saw there was because I was not allowed to go in there.
He was also in The Curse of King Tut's Tomb, Dracula 3000, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
He's in a lot of that, really? Sensing a theme.
He played James K. Polk, buried right here in Nashville.
Well, there you go.
He is indeed.
And then I've never heard. He's also been in a 2017 version, a voice of a. He does all the Starship Troopers.
Yeah, he's stuck with that franchise.
He was an uncredited student in Saved by the Bell.
Which, by the way, I think that first Starship Troopers movie is brilliant. I'm shocked that it didn't turn into a bigger thing. But
I think it was pretty big, wasn't it? They made a bunch of sequels. And stuff.
They're very cheap direct-to-video sequels, though.
Yeah, like the Skulls Part 2.
Oh, I love Skulls 1.
Yeah, Skulls 2.
I'm into this thing where I like the first iteration of movies.
Oh, really? You think sequels get worse?
Yeah.
No one's ever said that.
Really?
So you're saying you don't like Jurassic World?
Haven't seen it, but Logan told me what happens, and no.
But did you see the last one?
No.
Yeah, I assume at this point people... Okay, if you don't want Jurassic World spoiled...
By the time you're hearing this...
So... I thought it was fun. I enjoyed Jurassic World, but I sat here with Will and explained it. He was like, just tell me the plot because I don't care. And when I got to the point, this is a huge spoiler, into the movie spoiler, so do not listen right here. When I got to the point, it's like, and then the air conditioning broke.
Logan and I figured out last night over dinner that the actual villain of Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom is the air conditioning.
Yeah, the air conditioning breaks and somehow that poisons the dinosaurs.
No, a piece of metal hit a giant.
So isn't that the hero?
No, there was a...
Well, depends on whose side are you on.
For some reason, there's...
Are you on the dinosaur side?
Jeff Goldblum, not on the dinosaur side.
First of all...
Life finds a way.
There's this...
Again?
He doesn't say that.
Oh, no, he doesn't hear.
It's only in the trailer.
There's like a 100-year-old mansion that somehow has like a top-of-the-line genetic laboratory
like
in the basement.
Store in the basement. Like Pixar.
In the basement. In the basement. But it also happens to have a giant vat of cyanide gas. What?
Why'd you say in the basement that way?
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, that's right.
Alamo in the basement.
I don't know. We'll talk about something later. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
There's a giant vat of cyanide gas that gets sprung open by a piece of flying metal shrapnel, and the air conditioning unit is out, so they can't pump the air out to get the gas out. So all the dinosaurs may die.
But guess what?
Luckily, there's a clone there.
Yeah, there's a clone girl.
A human. The dumbest movie I've ever heard.
When you just say the plot of Jurassic World 2, it's the worst thing
you've ever heard.
I enjoyed it.
I want to start a new podcast where Logan just describes movies to me, and I decide whether or not I like them or not.
When I was saying it out loud, I was like, this can't be... I couldn't have... Like, did I forget
You kept
this?
Laughing as you said, like, this is dumb.
This is how this plot went? They're selling weaponized dinosaurs to all over the world, and then, then they're...
China.
Russia.
New question.
Russia.
Who trained that dinosaur, by the way?
Who trained the dinosaur?
We never really get to that point.
Noah.
Wait,
Noah.
Which dinosaur?
The bad one, the Indoraptor.
The Indoraptor.
Who taught
him? What the heck? the Indoraptor?
Yes. Well, the regular raptors are good guys.
It's from
now.
Indochina.
So they had to come up
shut
with
it
a new,
down.
They had to come
shut
up with evil raptors. They had to come up with evil raptors because the bad raptors are now good. So they have
Indo's bad?
Well, there's only one raptor left.
Time out. All dinosaurs bad. They eat you.
Not all of them blue.
Not
some
all.
Blue
some
is a step
man.
On you.
Blue is a raptor.
Some will gore you, but they won't eat you.
Chris Pratt's character is a raptor trainer in the last one, which worked when it was like a theme park or a zoo. Like, it made sense. He's figured out a way.
And also, in the last one, it wasn't like they were completely tame. They were obeying commands
for
food.
He just knows how to do it,
It always felt like at any minute they could flip.
Like a lion.
And they did. Yeah. They did turn on him at one point.
Yeah.
In this one, that blue did not. But that's okay, because I love blue.
So it's like, what was Harambe? It's like Harambe.
Oh, too soon.
They do kind of
too
Harambe.
Too soon is years ago.
They do kind of Come Harambe blue.
You have a two-year buffer on anything.
Did you see, there was a story I saw on Facebook today.
On anything? I was like, not on anything.
Titanic, 2 years later, people were making jokes.
Cecil the Lion's brother.
You about this?
Was shot. You remember Cecil the Lion that dentist shot?
Yeah.
There was a story I saw on Facebook today that his brother, I can't remember, was also shot. But the story pointed out Cecil's brother, comma, also a lion, comma,
shot. He's like the Gallagher too.
As though there was another way that he could be something.
Like, what are the
a
odds?
A dentist in Cleveland. My gosh, his brother's a lion.
It's unbelievable.
And he was also shot.
That poor mother. Two lions and they both got shot.
What are the odds?
It's like Will and I, every time the oldest person in the world or country dies, we send it to each other. It's like, not again.
Not again. Not again. I never want to be the oldest person.
Because the oldest person, only time you hear about them is when they die.
Right.
Like, oh, the oldest person's died again.
They didn't happen to do anything else of newsworthy.
No, right? But you always hear about them at death. So every time I send that to Will, oldest person's dead. Well,
so anyway.
Jurassic World.
Watch our show. You can watch Jurassic World if you want, but make sure you watch Dojo Pro.
Yeah, it's free. You don't have to go out of the house either. You can watch it just wherever you are right now.
You don't have to. You can binge it in a day.
I can guarantee you there are not proto-dinosaurs or whatever you called them.
Indoraptors.
Stupid.
There's no dinosaurs. I hate to say this, but next
well, maybe
season,
the veteran
don't
slot.
Call me. Don't put that on me. I'm not a veteran.
Thank you. I want to.
Yeah,
all right, it's
he's going to get 45 minutes right. into this nonsense.
It's 11:10 on a 11:10 on a work night. Yeah. Who would be texting me?
The Grease. Yeah. Guaranteed. Oh no, I've got 17 missed texts from him literally.
What
right
does he say?
No, he doesn't know we're here, but he's talking about work stuff.
Oh, dude, we could write a book.
I know.
How much you think we could pay for some hats? Seriously. But he spelled it hates. How many hates do we want?
That's like, Bart texts me at dinner. He's like,
I said, I'm making in the center.
What he goes, I said, where are you? And he said, I make in the center of the restaurant.
I'm making what?
I almost did make in the center.
Just put I make.
It was I don't know. I don't
like you poop.
I make restaurant.
He said, where are you at? I said, I make in the middle of the restaurant.
You might be a proto-raptor.
Sounds like a crazy person.
I came close. I almost made the middle of the
restaurant. I make in middle of restaurant. It's like Hulk smash poop.
I make in middle of restaurants. Did you see the World Series, the MLB player that pooped his pants while pitching this week?
No. What? What?
It happened.
That would happen to me.
Remember that time you pooped the wall? It happens to everyone. Margo really pooped the wall.
Margo.
Margo, by the way, Will's dog.
This one right here, she...
she crime scene did.
D-backs pitcher, Archie Bradley, reveals that he pooped his pants during...
I have to edit this whole thing.
Yeah, the whole dang thing.
It's in the news.
No, you said news.
He said D-backs. D-backs. That's the story.
That's not what it sounded like you said.
D-backs being the Diamondbacks of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Diamondbacks pitches.
So I went to Logan's house one evening, my wife and I, and the dog had been feeling kind of rough. Not her greatest. French bulldogs have issues. So I put her in a crate.
Mentally, physically.
Down in the kitchen. And I got home. And for some reason, I think my wife came straight from work, so we were in separate cars. But I called her and said, do not come through the garage, whatever you do. You go through the front door and you go straight upstairs. And the dog had projectile diarrhea that literally painted an entire wall with poop. Like, she was shooting it out of her butt so hard that it sprayed all the way to the roof, around the corner, it was...
It's like one of those things you take, the little sticky hands, you throw up against the wall, but imagine that giant.
And everywhere. And poop. And poop. And so I...
You climbed down the wall.
I gag reflex cleaned for hours. And it was, and magic erasers could not fix that.
Yeah. And that's why I can't sell this house.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's infested with dog poop.
Can't tell that story. No.
It looked like a crime scene, like blood splatter analysis. Like, well, that's clearly a defensive splatter.
Would you rather clean up blood or poop?
Blood. Well,
would you, this is a game of would you rather
with a suit.
Who's blood?
Poop?
Who's blood? Who's poop?
I think I'd rather clean up dog poop than dog blood.
Yeah. No, I'd rather clean up dog blood than dog poop.
Blood is hard to clean up, though, I feel like. It gets everywhere.
So is this poop.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, human poop or human blood.
Dennis Rodman's blood or Tommy Lee from Motley Crue.
I've had to clean up blood.
Ugh.
Like my own blood.
Well, that's fine.
Well, like how much blood?
Oh, I stepped on the Millennium Falcon.
I've had to clean my own poop.
Logan's a bleeder.
I sliced a layer off of my feet, and it bled.
We were in the middle of everywhere, Jerusalem, and Logan kicked a van.
I saw the scar.
He bled all over the
Holy
Land.
Why did you kick a van?
You can see the scar right here on my foot.
Cut yourself on, well, it was you like cut a, yourself on the pod cruise on we, that island, too.
Logan is an accidental slicer.
I get myself... I don't wear shoes, He's which a is bleeder. A problem. I wear flip-flops a lot of places, especially if I'm in the desert or on the beach, which is what both Israel and... this is. I also cut my
Israel's
foot.
Israel's both, isn't it? Desert and beach.
I was also at the beach once when I was a kid. I cut my foot really bad on a, like one of the racing video games where you have to climb up, like they have a platform that was like made of metal, like the sides were metal. No, it was pre-cruising.
Oh, it's almost like the NASCAR one.
Something, like shaking. And I got in and I wasn't wearing any shoes because at the beach and I'm a redneck child and I sliced my feet.
I'm a redneck child. What was the
I have bad feet. My kids always ask, like, why are your feet look shattered?
What was the driving game that had like a clown ice cream truck?
Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal, okay.
Or just.
I was talking about that yesterday, weirdly.
Your life.
I love Twisted Metal. My favorite part of Twisted Metal was you could go and you could set explosives. I can't say this now. You'd set it in the Eiffel Tower, and then you'd drive out, and then you could watch it fall over.
Speaking of Eiffel Tower, it's
like
Jurassic Park.
Like watching Soarin'.
Jurassic Park.
End.
Yeah, Jurassic Park
it's
ends.
Already bent over.
It's already bent over.
Jurassic Park ends in the Eiffel Tower.
With pterodactyls.
But guess what? But I forgot about this. Not the Eiffel Tower. Vegas Eiffel Tower.
They didn't fly all the way to Paris.
No.
Pteranodons can't fly to Paris.
So the next one is going to be in Vegas.
In Vegas.
I quit you.
Jurassic Vegas.
I quit you, Vegas.
Jurassic Park, the Vegas experience. That's what it should be called. I want it to be called that. Maybe Jurassic World, the Vegas experience.
Coming soon to the Mandalay Bay.
Uh-huh.
Probably the Hilton. It'll take over the old Star Trek space.
It's now the, it's not called the Hilton anymore.
What is it?
They changed. It was like the LV.
It's the, the Las Vegas hotel.
We went there. Amanda, when she was Mrs. Tennessee, the pageant was done on the stage that Elvis performed. It's actually pretty cool. And there's an Elvis impersonator there who
of course there is.
Has a lot of, I saw him with the ladies.
Mm.
And he was, was he?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to say, again, I don't want to accuse people. He was like the world famous Elvis impersonator.
They have a couple of them, so we're not saying.
No, he was like the one that everyone knows. What happened there, Will?
Nothing.
There's a nice hum.
Yeah, something's buzzing.
Did you not hear that?
I got scared.
No.
Okay.
Oh, maybe y'all heard the monitor giving some interference to the
camera. It's like 11:30.
Yeah.
We got to get to work.
Where are we at here?
We gotta be doing another hour, right?
It's been 52
minutes. How long we been on? Well, there you go.
Should we go 7 more minutes?
Sure. It's not the Elvis jumped out of an airplane.
I like City Gold on my soul.
Where are the fine Elvises?
One of the guys at Full Sail was one of the producers of that movie.
That is I want to say it's a great movie, but it's probably not. I just remember enjoying it.
I liked it at the time, yeah.
Honey.
I remember renting the tape.
I've got something to tell you.
Oh, I got something to say. Cage.
But welcome to Jurassic World.
Yeah, that's also how the movie ends, with Jeff Goldblum saying welcome to Jurassic World.
Put my hand on
Jurassic
my
World
chin.
Was also the name of the park in the last movie, so it's like, no.
Change your apartment, change the world.
Love Jeff Goldblum, don't love Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
I loved the Ragnarok.
Ragnarok by...
Tell me you didn't like it. It's my favorite of the
Ragnarok
three Thor
by
movies.
by David Gray?
Jimmy Ragnarok.
Yeah, that's my favorite Ragnarok. David Gray song. Least favorite.
Was that David Gray? Who did
Ragnarok? That was David Gray. Yeah.
Babylon.
Ding, 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 ding.
I always sing on Up on Ragnarok. You drop if your spoon.
Look, let's look up David Gray. It'll be the last thing.
David Gray.
What?
Gonna close my eyes.
Okay, I'm blown away right now. I was about to say how
you may not release this. Logan's like, whoa.
I was about to say, of his most popular songs on Spotify, how much further would Babylon be above everything else? And I am wrong. Babylon, number two.
What's the one? Well, the one I love?
He has a new single out.
Oh, he's back?
Is number one the one I love?
It is not. That's not even in the top five.
It's the new single.
This year's Love?
Yeah.
Has had 69 million plays.
Love is taking its toll. Oh, wait, that's Maroon 5. Never mind.
Babylon's had only 29 million plays. Then Sail Away. Sail away, sail away.
No, that's Enya.
Enya.
Orinoco Flow. Pure Moods.
No, but there's also Orinoco Flow.
I have the Orinoco Flow.
I went through
Tubular it. Mood. Tubular Bells.
Tubular Bells. I went through an Enya phase in college, actually.
Who played?
That didn't surprise me.
I used to fall asleep to Enya every night.
Who did, I don't know now, see her again, but I'm...
Oh, that's I know it's... Like,
you're beautiful.
Not David.
James Blunt.
James yeah. Blunt, that's right. How could I not remember that name? Blunt.
I'm looking at,
also James... used to fall asleep in college to Blunt.
No, I didn't fall asleep to a Blunt. I went to a Christian college.
Right? Okay, that one is, whoa.
My life
265
My love.
Million plays.
Well, all those song. Girls trying to figure out if they're the girl on the subway.
And then there's the next one has 226 million, then 118 million.
Oh, it's this guy, not a man.
David Gray, I think, or no, James Blunt, I think, still in the UK, like a big deal.
Well, yeah, they think he's their Elvis.
Like Robbie Williams.
His second song was something about suicide, too.
Speaking of. Listen like to Potluck, Will, new show.
Potluck.
You've trained me to not say pot.
We've talked about Robbie Williams' Rocky Day video.
I can't say podcast.
He came and performed with Taylor Swift in England, Robbie Williams. James. You guys like Copperhead Road?
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. James
Don't Blunt. Go around Copperhead Road. No one's having lunch.
No one's listening to you, Steve Earle.
James Blunt kind of looks like Pete Holmes.
He could tell by his face that he was Pete Holmes.
Back to Bedlam, huh?
Back to Bedlam.
Goodbye, my lover.
Goodbye, my lover.
That was the name of the, I don't
Goodbye,
know.
Goodbye, my friend.
You're beautiful.
Goodbye, my lover.
Is that really how the song goes?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking of, though.
Yeah, it's like Howie Day.
I do.
Wait, Collide. Howie Day. Was he Collide?
Yeah. You written by
Kevin Griffin.
Kevin Griffin of Better Than Ezra.
Really?
Yeah. And he also wrote No, that's She Says. Which even is on the every best record. He wrote the song, the Sugarland song, too. Stuck like glue.
Get out of here.
Give me a baby while stuck like glue.
Because it's essentially a Better Than Ezra song.
It is totally a Better Than Ezra song. It's in modern, like a Better Than Ezra third album, like from Closer forward.
Right.
I guess.
He plays it when he goes to see him.
And it's incredible because you're like, oh now I get it.
All right,
he doesn't do the rap part though. He didn't write that part. He always says that.
What were we reading where they said to somebody from Sugarland that we're like, who the heck is that?
That was that tonight.
Oh, that show, Georgia concert. That we didn't go to.
I forgot about that till right now.
Well,
I just got a feeling tonight's the night.
Considering there's an apocalyptic hailstorm heading this way.
Seriously?
It's better. Well, supposedly, yeah.
Amanda's trying to call me. I think it's place to wrap up.
All right.
Put her on the show.
End it, Bart.
All right. Well, folks, that's it. The most important thing to take away from this is, of course, go to Amazon Prime Video and look up Dojo Pro and enjoy our fine wrestling program. Folks, I'm not kidding you. I'm not selling you a bill of goods. This show is the real deal. It's really fun. It's really, you really go on a journey with some of these guys. You'll really be rooting for some. And we hope you enjoy. There's a lot of passion in this thing. There's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
Literally.
Those of y'all that listen to my podcast, Ears of Steel, remember a couple months ago when I recorded a ridiculous, rambling, giddy podcast.
Keep going for like an hour if you want.
In my rental car.
Precious.
And I was talking about some project that I couldn't tell you what, but I was just very, it was so excited about. This is it. So if you remember that passion, please
is it.
Go to Amazon and see the fruits of a lot of people's labor. Mm-hmm. We had a blast making it. I really enjoyed it. I'm so proud to be a part of it. So anything else we say here, don't just trust us. Check out the show. It'd mean a lot to us. And tell your friends. Phone the neighbors. Wake the kids. Tell them to watch Dojo Pro. And that's it. But for Will and Logan and myself, we hope you enjoyed your lunch. Goodbye, gang.